CJSF is 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the heights of Burnaby Mountain.
Come along, children. Now we're going to have a little music, like old times. Look, now I'll start the melody on the organ.
It's Feather Rock with Bill and Ella. It's Feather Rock and sometimes Liam. It's Feather Rock time. It's time for Feather Rock.
It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, indie music for indie kids. Bill Childs with you, as I am every week. We come to you from our flagship station, KUTX 98.9, distributed via PRX all over the country, all over the world. Music here from They Might Be Giants. It's E Eats Everything.
A hardly has an appetite and pokes at food too long. And B can barely bother because all the food is wrong. C likes only candy and chocolate by the box. D is just disinterested in anything you've got. But E eats everything. Yeah, E eats everything. E eats everything. Yeah, E eats everything. So toss it on a plastic plate or stick it with a fork. Serve it with a shovel or serve it on a spork. Yeah, E eats everything. Yeah, E eats everything. Far too fussy and only eats with fancy wine. G eats only gourmet but never can decide. H burns food so horrible all I tastes is smoke. J just likes drinking juice and K drinks only soda. But E eats everything. Yeah, E eats everything. He's eating in a moving car. He's eating upside down. He's eating on a spaceship. He's eating off the ground. L and M and N and P won't start till O arrives. Q and R and S and T are wearing clothes much too tight. U and V and W are worn out from the song. And X and Y just will not share and will not get along. But E eats everything. Yeah, E everything. But look out now, here it comes, that final letter Z. Now Z's not like the other letters, Z's only eating E's. Yeah, Z eats E's. Yeah, Z eats E's. Z eats E's. Yeah, Z eats E's.
Stalk and grab your dreams. Keep looking if you haven't seen that life is as magical as it seems. No one believes in magic beans till you climb up the beanstalk and grab your dreams. Keep looking if you haven't seen that life is as magical as it seems. Keep climbing. Now I don't know anyone that don't know Jack. He climbed up a beanstalk and left the ogre flat. He thought a cow for some magic beans. That's a pretty good trade if you're asking me. But did you ever think?
think about the guy with the cow, where the beans started out, the why and the how. Right now, let's take a second to check it. Look at the story again and find the message. First off, it was a massive beanstalk. Grew overnight right past the treetops. Only apple trees grow apple seeds. That means only magic beanstalks grow magic beans. And so I guess what I'm saying is whoever picked those beans to go trade them must have been scared of climbing, cause he gave up adventure and treasure without even trying. No one believes in magic beans till you climb up the beanstalk and grab your dreams. Looking if you haven't seen that life is as magical as it seems. No one believes in magic beans till you climb up the beanstalk and grab your dreams. Keep looking if you haven't seen that life is as magical as it seems. Keep climbing, don't look down. Yeah, listen to faith, don't listen. Talk about Jack's mom a little bit. He came back with a bean, she called him idiot. Not considerate, not into giving it a chance, but Jack thought his plans were legitimate. That means for real, possible. Magic can feel illogical. Full of obstacles, hard to achieve. And so with every molecule, you gotta believe. Your life is a magic rug that you weave. You believe in magic, you got tricks up your sleeve. Jack had it, even if his mom didn't. But when morning came, she saw the kid wasn't kidding. Sitting in the yard, a large piece of proof. The show Jack was speaking the truth. From the roots to the roof, that over her head, Jack fled to get the goose with the golden eggs. No one believes in magic beans till you climb up the beanstalk and grab your dreams. Keep looking if you haven't seen that life is as magical as it seems. No one believes in magic beans till you climb up the beanstalk and grab your dreams. Keep looking if you haven't seen that life is as magical as it seems. Don't listen to that. Five, four, one. The ladder's scary, but we climb those rungs. Everybody got a beanstalk, not just Jack, but most take time to grow like a mustache. Everyone has goals to reach. Everyone has fears like an ogre's teeth. Everyone has hopes like a golden egg. They don't all climb, some say no instead. But the climbers keep us inspired. Here's some names to get you higher when you get tired. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Mandela, Beethoven, Stevie Wonder, Helen Keller. They tell us we should keep climbing forever. Remind us to never stop trying to be better, cause there will always be people that doubt. So we need enough believers to equal them out. Come on. No one believes in magic beans till you climb up the beanstalk and grab your dreams. Keep looking if you haven't seen that life is as magical as it seems. No one believes in magic beans till you climb up the beanstalk and grab your dreams. Keep looking if you haven't seen that life is as magical as it seems.
Secret Agent 23 Skidoo with Magic Beans. They Might Be Giants with E Eats Everything, which is magical in its own right. You might sense a theme here, especially when you hear the next song, which is Karen Kay doing Do You Believe in Magic? Because right after that, we're going to be chatting with Derek Hughes, stand-up magician. Music here from Karen Kay, covering Love and Spoonfuls, Do You Believe in Magic?
Do you believe in magic?
It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, and we are joined in the studio by my friend Derek Hughes. How are you today, Derek?
I'm good, Bill Childs. So happy to be here.
It is great to have you here. Before we came on the air, I was just showing you a little bit of video of you and I 39 years ago.
Unbelievable.
Performing the Odyssey, the true story. I was Odysseus, and you played Telemachus and Paris and two other, the toilet flusher.
Yes, very important role in the Homer Odyssey, if you remember, the toilet flusher.
Yeah, it's some translations don't have it.
Sure.
But the one we were working from did have that. So so you're mostly known, and I want to talk for a little bit about this role and then about your book as well, as a magician, and you're known as the stand-up magician. So tell us, A, sort of what it means to be a stand-up magician as opposed to another magician, and how you got into it. Like, we talked a little bit about magic camp before you came on the air. Tell us about that. So tell us your story.
Well, I got into magic when I was 10 years old. I traded a chemistry set for a magic kit.
Amazing.
And in that magic kit, there was a trick that turned a penny into a dime. And I really do feel like in my imagination, even though I wasn't really making new money, in my mind I was like, I could maybe make a life. I could make money, and then I could buy the toys and things I want if I become this magician. And I never really looked back. Like, it really became quite the obsession. 2 years later, a friend of mine who I met at a YMCA camp, he had really great magic tricks, like really pro-level magic props. And he told me about Eagle Magic Store in Minneapolis. And we would meet at Saturday afternoons at Eagle Magic. And he told me about a magic camp that happened out in New York. And I begged my mom to raid some of my college fund so I could go for a week of magic camp. And up until that point, I thought magic had trick props, things that would do the magic for you. That penny, it wasn't sleight of hand. There was something that was a little self-working in that effect that made it happen. But at magic camp, my counselor, Richard Sanders, a great magician from Canada, he showed me pure sleight of hand with four coins, four cards, and a miracle called Matrix. And there was nothing tricky about this stuff.
These are normal coins, normal cards.
And it looked better than anything I'd seen with trick props up till that point. And then I was hooked. Like, this is...
And this is about when I knew you. And it was clear from then. It was like, oh. That's what Derek is.
Yeah, I'm raking leaves to get Grandpa to give me money so I can go to Eagle Magic Store and buy more magic books, more magic props, and it really kind of launched from there. And so you ask about stand-up magician. Yeah. I've always had levity. You know, levity's been a big part of my journey. I feel laughter is really healing and important, and I was always very naturally funny in my life. You know, magic's intense, you know, like you see a magic trick live and it's like, oh, your brain gets scattered.
Yeah.
So I also thought stand-up is a nice little sorbet in between miracles where I can
give people
talk,
a little bit
take
of a break.
You know, have some laughs and then dive into the next. How the heck did that happen?
That's so cool. And I will note, I was doing a little bit of research on you, and I was reading the entry about you on America's Got Talent, where you made it to the top 10, I believe.
That's true, yeah.
And the wiki, I don't know if you know this about you, you're one of two contestants to have pulled a card out of your bottom.
That's the truth. the other guy did it the year before. Now, this is a trick I'd been doing. We call it Ace in the Hole. Title of the trick. But I'd been using that as my comedy club closer and my college, you know, tour closer.
Perfect.
For a number of years. A really funny trick. And my routine is sort of it's a lampoon and a bit of an indictment of our culture's obsession with celebrity.
Yeah.
Almost a send-up of America's Got Talent in and of itself.
And you are on it. Yeah.
Right. Because in it, I talk about the routine is about how I figured out what the thing that's going to make me famous. And I was afraid to do it tonight, so I did this other thing. But you know what? Let's do it. It's too important. And then I end up pulling a card out of my butt. And it's like so stupid. But I'm screaming like, I'm going to be famous. Like, I have no sense of reality, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really a fun routine.
So you're a father, and you've written this great children's book that has been, you originally self-published, and then Penguin Random House published it.
That's correct.
It's called Humpty Dumpty Lived Near a Wall. Give us sort of what's the pitch for this book? I would be remiss if I didn't mention, beautifully illustrated by Nathan Christopher.
Unbelievable illustrations. Nathan took 5 years, much to my chagrin at the time,
sure.
But I do believe his effort is what led us to, you know, an international publishing house. For sure.
Yeah.
I had written this poem about Humpty Dumpty if it wasn't a tragedy, if his journey was really a hero's journey and his sacrifice was an inspiration for everyone to follow in his path and live their dream, you know. And I wrote this poem and started performing it as a sort of a spoken word segment in my...
In your regular set.
In my regular show.
Yeah.
Just spoken word, just a break, non sequitur.
And it's a few minutes long if you read
It's 90 seconds written, I mean spoken.
Yeah.
And people would come to me after my show and say, hey, I was really inspired by that poem. Where do I find it? Who wrote it? I was like, well, I wrote it, and I don't know where you find it.
Yeah, you found it on the stage tonight.
That's right. So I started thinking, well, here's a merch opportunity. Yeah. I could self-publish, you know, go to FedEx Kinko's and run off, you know, just easy.
Yeah.
And I approached Nathan, and I said, would you just do a quick, you know, would you just...
Turns out quick isn't in his vocabulary.
It is not. The guy is obsessive and detail-oriented, and what I thought would take a month max for simple line drawings to illustrate a handful of stanzas turned into a 5-year endeavor where he's working, you know, day and night on these, you know, he works large format, you know, his,
it's like these are two feet by two feet.
Wow. And it's the book is 8 inches by 8 inches, you know, so it's really, the detail is unbelievable. About 2 weeks into having those books, my buddy Derek Delgadio was doing a show in New York called In and of Itself, and you can find that streaming on Hulu, the filmed version of this live performance that was directed by Frank Oz.
Oh, wow.
Yoda.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Little Shop of Horrors. We know Frank Oz. Right. And he called me. He said, hey, I have a meeting with Penguin Random House. FedEx me your book. Overnight me your book. And what a good friend. He brought my book into his meeting. And 2 months later, I get a call from the VP of Children's Publishing at Penguin Random House saying, hey, we want to bring your book to the world. And now it is in bookstores all over the world.
Are you going to do another book?
I would love to do another book. It's so funny. Life, we have limited time.
It turns out.
It really does. And, you know, I think Jack and Jill live near a hill. Would be a really interesting...
if you can come up with the right angle on
that's
that.
But right.
That's a good hook. So where can we find you online?
You can find me at standupmagician.com.
And is that also where you are on socials?
That's standupmagician on Insta, TikTok, X.
Wherever.
Maybe LinkedIn.
Maybe we'll get some Blue Sky. Derek, it's been great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
And when you get that next book, we'll get you by here again.
I can't wait.
Take care.
Everybody knows that the quickest way to your heart is to cause it. mama nah eat no fish.
Kumba kumba fish, mama nah eat no fish.
Me say me nah eat no fish, mama nah eat no fish.
Kumba kumba fish, mama nah eat no fish.
He go walk me belly, mama walk me belly.
Kumba kumba fish, mama.
Mama, nah
eat no fish. We want
them bakumba fish. Mama, nah eat no fish.
Hey,
you go bring me bad luck. Mama, bring me bad luck.
Bakumba fish. Mama, nah eat no fish.
You go bring me bad luck. Mama, bring me bad luck.
Bakumba fish. Mama, nah eat no fish. Fish, mama, nah eat no fish.
He was then free ride, mama was then free ride.
Kumba, kumba, fish, mama,
nah eat no fish. Nah eat no fish, mama, nah eat no fish.
Kumba, kumba, fish, mama.
Thank you.
Charlie Brown Christmas music, Vince Guaraldi Trio. Christmas time is here on Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, music for kids and their grown-ups. Thanks again to Derek Hughes for stopping by the studio and chatting about his lovely new book and his fascinating career. The book is Humpty Dumpty Lived Near a Wall, standupmagician.com. Such a good guy. We're at a point in the show when I need your help, though. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you if you have a question. You're going to say yes. I'm then going to ask you what that question is, and you're going to say, you're not just going to say, you're going to yell as loudly as you can, so loudly I can hear you here in the studio. You're going to yell, "Are you prepared to rock?" Okay, got it? Cool. Hey, everybody, do you have a question for me? You do. Excellent. What is that question? I am, in fact, prepared to rock, but first advice from They Might Be Giants.
Consideration is the thing we call the rock. Second on the list is a rock child, a child that's been fully prepared.
Prepare to rock, don't spare the rock. Prepare to rock, don't spare the rock now. Bill, Ella, sometimes they rock.
There are a couple things in the winter holiday season that I get very excited for every year. One is getting to hear This Will Be Our Year from Kelly Willis and Bruce Robeson. That comes in a couple weeks. One is Run DMC.